Today is Sunday, November 12th, 2017, and this...
You don't see what the problem is in going to Vegas?
All right, Wanda, look, you was asleep. I couldn't read, the light bulb. If I turned the television on, the noise would have woke you. See? I was being considerate.
So, I'm supposed to be grateful that you went to Vegas.
In a perfect world, yeah.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 624.
I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Now I have to... Oops.
Are you fantastic?
I'm doing all right, yeah.
Okay. You just sounded like you're a little irritated there.
No, I'm just concerned that you're not loud enough.
Oh. First I was too loud. Now I'm not loud enough.
Now you're too loud again. I'm doing a good job. So, welcome. We're going to talk about some Vegas stuff. We got a weird little collection of news items this week to talk about, but they should be fun. So before we get into that, I want to thank several people for their ongoing support of this show through Patreon patronage. They are, among other folks, Ray Shao. Thank you, Ray. Brian B.C. Chevrier.
Long-time listener.
Yes, long-time supporter. All around good guy. I don't you love that I'm making editorial comments on? Yeah, that's probably a bad thing to get into. Because I don't know a lot of these folks personally, but they're all wonderful, as is evident from their presence on this list. All right. Kevin Lloyd, Jim Cook, Jason Cathers. Which way would you go on that one?
I would go with Cathers.
All right, Cathers. Steve Grants, Dave Belzel, and Rob Clark. Thank you all so much. We do appreciate you for your support of this show. If you're not sure what this is about, visit patreon.com/500. Folks who support the show on an ongoing monthly basis get some bonus content as a thank you. Yesterday we had a chat with several of our Patreon patrons, which was quite fun.
It was fun.
I enjoyed it. We tried out a new little live streaming thing, and we were on video, which was a little awkward, but I enjoyed it. We're going to do another one in January, I think, so stay tuned for that.
Thank you to everyone who came up for that. That was cool.
Yes, I appreciate that. All right, so let's jump into the news. We've got a bunch of weird things, as I mentioned. We're going to review a couple things from our last trip as well, and a few phone calls coming up. So let's start with the latest. We haven't been covering like the ongoing saga of the shootings, just because that's out there. It's plentiful, and I don't really feel like we have anything to contribute to the discussion on that. But every once in a while, something is going to probably come up that is a little bit, it's tied to that, but it's more related to like the tourism aspect. So I think that's more of the angle that we would be inclined to cover. And there was some news this week that was a little bit disappointing regarding the after effects of the shootings from last month at Mandalay Bay. The Review Journal is reporting that MGM Resorts is cutting employee hours at that property as a result of slow business, which they attribute to the incident at the beginning of October. So when I heard this, I had like two instant reactions. And the first one is obviously feeling horrible for the employees because they're caught up in something that
they can't control.
And then the second one is like, because I tend to be cynical and
I know
that'll be hard for people to believe, but, I guess, I don't know all the details on this and the, you know, the why and the how much they're being cut back or any of that stuff. But my instant reaction was like, well, that's pretty lame of MGM Resorts to do. Now, I get that they can't have a bunch of, it doesn't make sense to have a bunch of people doing nothing if there's not enough customers to serve. But part of me is like, it's a really big company. Isn't there something they can do to keep them, you know, they didn't lay people off, I don't believe. I think it's just cutting their hours, but don't know.
For it's... some people, it sounded like it might as well be laying them off because they were on call and they weren't guaranteed hours. So
anyway, like I said, it's hard to, without knowing the specifics of it, it's hard to lash out at MGM as much as I'm tempted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I'm inclined to encourage people to go to Mandalay Bay still. You know, we were encouraging that right after this happened to keep business up. And I'm inclined to say that again, just for the sake of the employees,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm like, I don't know. I haven't been a big fan of MGM Resorts for a while because of a lot of the things they're doing. But man, I do feel for the employees because this is a residual effect of something that they just happen to, you know, happen where they're employed. So. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can make up your own mind as far as how you view MGM Resorts, I guess. But if there's a way to support the employees, I certainly am in favor of that.
Yep.
So, we certainly feel bad for them. I hope, you know, that after the holidays, things will start to pick up again.
Mm-hmm.
This tends to be a little bit slower time in Las Vegas anyway, way toward the end of the year. But hopefully they'll, you know, be able to kind of... They said that there were, in the fourth quarter, there was a noticeable increase in cancellations for reservations at Mandalay Bay. So it is having some effect, but you would hope that over time that would change.
Oh.
I don't know. It seems a little strange to me that people would. I wonder if those people who are canceling are moving to other properties or if they are just canceling their Vegas trip altogether, because I don't know. I don't necessarily see how moving to another property would. I get it if you've just decided, you know what, I don't feel safe there. I get that, even though I don't feel that
way
myself.
I don't agree with it. Yeah.
But I don't know. It would seem like if you're going to have that feeling,
I don't know if agree is the right word, but I don't. Yeah, I don't feel that way, but I guess I can understand why somebody would feel that way.
I do. But to me, it would be more that they would feel that way about like the Strip in general or Las Vegas in general and not just Mandalay Bay because it happened there.
Right.
Like the chances of that happening again at that same property are the same as if it were to happen at any other property, I would think. So I don't know.
The other thing about the article, and this pissed me off, so not only are they having to come to work and worry about their hours being cut, but people are being assholes about it. Like some guy was joking about being put on the same floor as the shooter and like have a little sensitivity. Come on.
That's not cool. Yep. I guess some people that's how they deal with it is to make light of it. And I guess in some instances related to other things, maybe I tend to do some of that too. If I don't feel connected to something. This, obviously, it's still pretty raw for everybody. So, I don't know. But, yeah, it's good to have a little tact. Well, it's kind of like when we mentioned seeing the guy with the t-shirt that had the fake blood splatter on. It's like, yeah, you might not want to wear that to Mandalay Bay right now. So, anyway, we have a little sensitivity. Yes, absolutely. So, we'll see. Hopefully, like I said, things will pick up in 2018, and we'll go back to normal as far as employee counts and those sorts of things. So. All right, so moving on to something a little bit more upbeat, maybe. Zipline fever is taking hold on the Strip. We mentioned a week or two ago that as part of the Wynn Paradise Park plans, there are at least preliminary plans to include ziplines there. And now Caesars has announced officially that they are putting in ziplines at the Link Promenade.
Is Steve ever going to ride the zipline?
That would be almost as fun as seeing him ride the bumper cars. I want to see all that on opening day.
Yeah. Steve I want Wynn. Video of Steve Wynn.
Superman pose. Did he do it downtown? No. Did he?
I don't know.
Part of me feels like there may have been footage of him doing that downtown, like trying it out.
In a guitar sweater?
One can only hope. But I don't know. I might be just hallucinating that. I'm sure someone will let me know after the show if that photo exists.
I feel like Steve Wynn has become more of a figure, like
just a mockable figure.
Well, kind of, but
it's hard not to mock him when you hear him getting excited about bumper cars.
Uh-huh. And it's more mocking the voice and the mannerisms and
yeah.
Yeah.
So this new zipline project that is planned by Caesars Entertainment at the Link is very similar to Slotzilla. It is going to include both the Superman posed and the or the seated option, the more traditional mm-hmm. zipline option. I think it's the same company who's building the thing that builds Slotzilla. At least there's some involvement from people who are involved in Slotzilla. They're going to have 10 lines that run from near the entrance to the Link, and it's going to run to the High Roller, or I think the High Roller ticket office. It's about 1,000 feet long, I guess, and it's around the same height as the higher lines on the Slotzilla downtown zip line, so the Zoom line. So they're going to begin construction in the spring. It's supposed to be done by the end of next year. Having done the Slotzilla Zoom line, do you have any interest in doing the same thing on the Strip?
Not really.
Yeah, it's a shorter run, so the 1,000 feet compares, I believe, Slotzilla, if you're doing the Zoom
the
line.
The sitting one?
I think, no, well, the sitting one is like 800 feet, and the Zoom line is about twice that.
Okay.
So this is somewhere in between. But it's up a tiny bit higher, but not that much.
Yeah.
So...
I like, if I were to do it, I'd probably just do Slotzilla again, because especially at night, having the,
having all the lights and the...
All the lights, and yeah. I was trying to remember if they, I don't think they have them going during the light shows.
I think
themselves.
They do.
Do they?
I think so.
Okay.
I feel like I've seen people going...
I was trying to remember if...
I think they do.
They still have people going during the light shows or not.
I think they do, but I'm not 100% certain.
Yeah.
More things that we're not sure of.
Mm-hmm.
Inconsequential, I guess. But for the Link...
It's not as scenic.
No, it's not that you're... You know, it's just people milling... Well, I mean, Fremont Street is just people milling about, too.
Yeah.
I guess it's not that different.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I suppose it's... If you're on the Strip and you really want to do a zip line, then go there. If you're downtown and you really want to do a zip line... Do Slotzilla.
I have a feeling it will do a fine business because of location.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it'll do all right. I wonder if this will have any effect on Steve's plans to put one in at Wynn Paradise Park.
Yeah.
He'll say, well, if I'm not going to be first, I'm not going to do it anymore. For a while, there were plans. This is several years ago. There were all kinds of crazy zipline plans that never happened. There was going to be some, like, extensive network of ziplines between Excalibur and Luxor.
Oh,
and
right.
Very, very strange. And then there was... For a while, there were plans for one at Tropicana, but those never made it beyond the... I think they made it to the county for approval, but I don't... Obviously, they never got built. This one has been announced, and Caesars, generally, once they announce something, they're likely to go ahead with it. So you can keep an eye out for that next year if you are a zipline aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the fun story this week is this self-driving shuttle downtown. I'm sure a lot of people saw this. In January, there was a test of a driverless shuttle around the Fremont Street area, and they've brought that back for an extended pilot program. I think it's kind of useless as far as just a shuttle goes, because it's a fairly small loop of just a few blocks around downtown Container Park. Like, for people who are able to get around on their own, it's like, oh, I could either stand here and wait for a shuttle, or I could walk three blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but they will eventually expand this if it does well. But on the first day of the shuttle running, within 1 hour, it was involved in a car accident. And apparently now the people, I don't even know who's operating this thing, but who owned this shuttle, but they made it very clear it was not the fault of the driverless shuttle. It was a semi-truck was backing up into an alley and clipped it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, nobody got hurt or anything, but that was the reason. It was because of a driver of another vehicle and not because of the driverless vehicle. But my response was, but if there was a driver in the driverless vehicle, wouldn't that person be able to react a little bit better than the automated system?
I would think so.
There was another car behind it, so it couldn't back up very far, but you would think that, I don't know, honking a horn might do a trick. So anyway, it was... pretty funny that this highly touted driverless vehicle got into an accident in hour number one.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the automated driverless technology that is being foisted upon us?
I'm not sure.
I'm not too gung-ho about it yet.
I don't have a lot of opinions about it yet.
Yeah, I...
But I'm sure you do, so please share them with us.
No, not really, but I do take somewhat seriously the joke from... We saw Chris Hardwick do a stand-up comedy set a couple months ago, and he was talking about this technology and how people are very excited about it, but he made the point, we haven't even gotten autocorrect right.
That's true.
You're trying to send a text, and it, you know, it ends up being all fucked up, and...
Who says ducking?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll give it some time and then make a decision. I wouldn't probably be inclined to get inside of this thing yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of people
will not
it.
Be an early adopter, we'll say.
No. Well, let's make sure that we've got this fairly well taken care of. And the accident in the first hour doesn't exactly build confidence, regardless of whose fault it was. So there you go. But if you're near Container Park, you might see this goofy little bus with I think it has like AAA logos on it. Should have AA logos on it, apparently. Anyway, so that's happening downtown. All right, off strip at Palms, there is a lot happening. As you may recall, that property changed hands recently and is now owned by Red Rock Resorts / Station Casinos. They have announced the next phase of updates. They've already been doing some changes. I think they've got a new buffet, and they've been shutting some things down and opening some new things, and they've got a bunch of things planned. They're putting like $500 million into this property in the next year or two, and they're hoping to bring it back to what it was when it first opened in terms of a combination locals and tourist attraction resort. So among the plans they have are new restaurants, which they need because they've been closing a lot of them down.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have a new Italian place, a new barbecue place, and a new seafood restaurant from Bobby Flay. So they're bringing in, you know, known chef names.
If they had an intriguing enough restaurant, I'd be willing to make the trip over there.
Yeah, I'd go over there and see what's going on at
some
point.
We used to go over there fairly regularly, and then we just stopped.
Yeah, there just wasn't that much exciting about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would check out some new stuff once it all opens. They're putting in a new spa as well. They're doing an update of the Pearl concert venue. They're going to open, of course, when they first opened, they were known for nightclubs, and right now they're known for closed nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
They have a ton of empty, unused nightclub space, which will, they're going to be reusing some of that, including a 73,000 square foot pool club and a 29,000 square foot nightclub, both operated by Tao. So they partnered with somebody else who is doing quite well in the nightclub business in Las Vegas, and they're hoping to become known for that again. They're also renovating the Fantasy Tower rooms and adding 60 new rooms to that tower in previously unused space. So you can get a pretty good deal on some nice rooms over at Palms just because of its location. So after these get refreshed, that'll be a good thing as well. So it's good to see that that they're putting money into it. I really like some of the things that Station Casinos / Red Rock Resorts has done, specifically at Red Rock. That's a really, really nice property. And to see them do something similar to Palms would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I would not even rule out staying there sometime after all this is done.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Another odd little... This probably should have followed up the driverless shuttle in terms of technology. I have such a weird combination of news stories that were hard to organize this week. But we've discussed in recent months this increase in the number of chat bots that operate as virtual concierge services at various resorts. I know Cosmo has one and Cromwell has one. There are a few others. They usually have names. Like I think one of them is named Ivy, and what is Cosmo's, Rose or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of along those lines, but a little bit different. Mandarin Oriental has introduced a... This is so creepy. The term humanoid robot. Just the term humanoid creeps me out.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
A humanoid robot named Pepper. And
your description here.
Looking at a picture of it, it looks... To me, it looked like Powder, the character from the movie Powder.
Mm-hmm.
And Tilda Swinton. Tilda Swinton. if they mated with a slimmed down Pillsbury Doughboy, this would be the result of that. It's just a weird looking, very, very,
very pale,
pale white, asexual thing that greets you in the 23rd floor lobby of Mandarin Oriental. It can answer questions. It can tell you stories. It can dance. and it will pose for selfies. Hmm. So Mandarin Oriental, I would imagine, now I don't know, we've not stayed there. Well, I don't know. I wonder, my question would be, in the lobby when you're checking in, does it ever get really busy in there? If so, this is something to occupy people. And I, they need one of these at Cosmo. I'm surprised they don't have one of these at Cosmo, because that was a long lines at Cosmo and people are getting pissed off if they have to wait in line. This thing will wander around and entertain you, which, you know, there's something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. Being occupied when you're waiting in line is a good thing. It, among its features, in addition to being able to answer questions and entertain you, it can detect the tone of your voice and facial expressions to determine your mood and respond appropriately.
You know what yours would be? Skeptical.
Scowly. Yes.
Cranky and, yes. Cynical.
I wonder then, so let's say it happens upon me waiting in line, and let's say I'm hungry and thus hangry.
Yeah.
And this thing comes along and decides to try to dazzle me with its dancing or something.
Oh.
If I get progressively irritated by its actions, I wonder...
Will it know to go away?
Will it, like, yeah, will it just turn around and leave, or will it step it up and make and become even more annoying? I almost want to test it.
Oh, dear God.
I want to go to the... I would maybe be tempted to go to the 23rd floor lobby just to see this thing. Even though it creeps me out to be in the presence of a humanoid robot.
Where's Mandarin Bar? Is that...
Yeah, I think that's the same. It might be the same floor. So, if you're staying at Mandarin Oriental and you see this weird-looking white thing, white robot approaching you, that is, what's its name?
Pepper.
Pepper. Yes. So, I would love to hear if anyone encounters this beast in Las Vegas and wants to report on it. And how, you know, it would be fun. Like, can you get the thing to, I don't know.
Get the thing to what?
Will it tell you a dirty joke? Will it respond if you tell it to fuck off? You know, it's kind of like Siri when you first get that.
Mm-hmm. And Siri, like, Siri gets very offended if you swear at her.
Let's see how far I can push this. Mm-hmm. And I would be tempted to do the same thing with this stupid robot. All right. So, something fun and new at Mandarin Oriental.
Please don't harass the robot.
Do harass the robot. I want to know how it responds. And videotape it and post it to the Facebook group if you take video of it, like...
If you're going to harass something, harass a robot.
Yeah, exactly. There's no harm there. All right, let's talk about Tropicana a little bit. They are opening a buffet, which they have not had for a while. November 22nd is the day of the new buffet opening. It is called Savor the Buffet. Not Savor the Buffet. Savor, comma, the Buffet. How do you feel about the name Savor?
I think it's funny.
It's kind of...
Savor is a funny word to me.
Yeah. So, you know,
should we talk about Enjoy and Savor?
So what was the story with that? It was a coworker who sent an email filled with typos, and that's how she ended it. Enjoy and Savor.
Yes.
I just know that Enjoy and Savor has become a regular part of our vernacular here. Uh-huh. I can't even recall the specifics. Was that the St. Partick's Day email?
I think it was the St. Partick's Day email.
Yeah.
That ended with Enjoy and Savor.
So you can enjoy and savor the buffet at Tropicana. $22 for breakfast, $27 for lunch, and between $32 and $35 for dinner, depending on the day of the week. They're, you know, it's a typical buffet. They've got a lot of different stations. Some are made-to-order stations, including, I don't know of any other place that has this, a create-your-own flatbread pizza station. Mm. It takes, so you pick your toppings, and they put it in an oven. It only takes two minutes to heat up, so it's super fast. Kind of the same shtick as... the place that is closing in Monte Carlo, so like, and reopening at New York, 800 degrees.
Yeah.
They can prepare it super fast, but it's got whatever you want on it. And, you know, buffet pizza is notoriously bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if this...
This would be fresh.
This would be fresh, and it's...
Customized.
The two issues with pizza... Well, there's a lot of issues with pizza.
Oh, yeah.
But the two biggest factors in whether or not pizza is going to be good is the crust and the sauce.
What about the temperature?
Well, yeah,
it either needs to be super hot or cold.
Temperature is a factor, I suppose.
It can't be lukewarm. Lukewarm pizza is bad.
It's not bad. It's just not. It's not.
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal.
I do not want sitting under a heat lamp for 5 hours pizza.
But the reason that I think that buffet pizza is usually bad is because it's usually that in-between crust where it's not like super thin. Usually the thinner the crust, the, you're usually going to get a better product if you have a thin crust, I found. Or if you have... it's when you have the in-between crust that you have a problem.
Hmm.
I don't know why that is, but that's something I've noticed. And the buffet pizza usually is that in-between crust. And you're right, it is usually sitting there for a while.
The cheese is a little bit congealed.
Yeah. So this might be a good option if you're
speaking
for a buffet.
Of pizza.
Uh-huh.
Papa Murphy's Take and Bake has been advertising
hamburger
pizza. And every time they show the commercial, you go into a rant about pickles on pizza.
At least they're normal pickles, but I don't want any pickles on my pizza, but and mustard. So no, I don't want a fucking hamburger pizza.
If you want a hamburger, get a hamburger.
Yeah. Irritating. But yeah, if it was sweet.
Unless you want a hamburger in the shape of a hot dog.
If it was sweet, well then I'm on board. And I'm a big fan of the pipe products that no longer exist. R.I.P. Speaking of hot dogs, good segue. Papaya King. It was a hot dog restaurant that was an import from New York that opened at the Hawaiian Marketplace only about a year ago, and it already has closed. The reason? Because it's at Hawaiian Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with that, you've probably walked by it in between MGM Grand and Planet Hollywood. It's flyover territory. It is the Neonopolis of the Strip.
Yeah.
There's no reason to stop there, and nothing survives. Except for Chili's, which seems to have... because people are familiar with the name and migrate to things they know. Chili's has remained open, but most of the things at Hawaiian Marketplace do not last long, including Papaya King. So if you were... I forgot, since we talked about that, I forgot it existed.
I did too.
And now
I read the show notes and I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing there.
Huh. Not for long. Another thing that may not be a thing for much longer is downtown across from the Container Park. It is called The Venue. This opened a couple of years ago, and it is an entertainment or an event center. And it's modeled after a similar place also called The Venue in Scottsdale, Arizona. And when this opened, so it was announced a long time ago, and then they put it on hold because the economy tanked, and then they finally built it. And I remember when it opened, we talked about whether or not this made any sense in Las Vegas. And the reason is there's a lot of event space in that city.
Mm-hmm.
All the hotels have event space. Some of them for very large events, some of them for smaller events. But pretty much every hotel has some sort of conference or meeting space. And many of them can host things like wedding receptions, which is one of the things that a venue like The Venue caters to. And now, in addition to that sort of event, they also have a bar on the first floor, although I think after a few months, I don't think it's open anymore.
Yeah.
It's called Virtue Vice.
Yeah.
And
I remember going by there, and it just seemed like it was closed all the time.
Yeah, when at some point they had public hours, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't think it has been for a while.
Huh.
They're underusing this place if they're only using it for events, because you can have, if it's like the one in Scottsdale, you can have like concerts and stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
There's room for small, relatively small concerts, but I don't think they've had any sort of public events there other than maybe when it first opened, they had like an open house thing. But anyway, the reason we're talking about it again is because the owner of that is selling it. It is for sale. Apparently things are not working out. And he's trying to get out of the business. $18 million is the asking price if you're interested in an entertainment center that perhaps could be repurposed as some sort of a more general use facility rather than just for special events. That would be my suggestion to whoever buys this.
Mm-hmm. Don't do what the previous owners did.
Yeah. It's got a nice look. I've seen pictures. It has a nice looking rooftop space. If you open that up as a rooftop bar, it would probably be okay. But it's a very large facility, so you're going to have to find something to do with the rest of the place as well.
Neonopolis Part 2.
Part 3, because I count Hawaiian Marketplace as a Neonopolis.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the deal with The Venue. If you've got an extra $18 million sitting in your pocket and wanted to buy something in Las Vegas, now is your chance. A couple quick updates on residencies for 2018. There have been a bunch of extensions or additional dates from performers who have been there recently, and they will be around for a while, including, I'm not getting into specific dates. If you're interested in them, you can find it online. Jennifer Lopez at Planet Hollywood, Pitbull at Planet Hollywood. Ooh, sign me up. I love me some Pitbull. Reba with Brooks and Dunn at Caesar's Palace, and Rod Stewart at Caesar's Palace. So there you have it. If you're fans of any of them and wanted to see their shows, they will still be around next year. Finally, Golden Nugget has announced plans for Gold Diggers. That is their second floor, let's put in quotes, nightclub.
Yeah.
They do promote it as the only nightclub downtown. We discussed this a while ago. There were different rumors about what they were going to do because they put out a survey to customers about what type of bar they would like there. They also trademarked, I believe it was called like 128 Club or something like that, based on the address of the property. However, they have gone with something different. It's being rebranded as something called Troy Liquor Bar, and that is an existing brand that Landry's owns, and Landry's owns Golden Nugget. They also own many of the restaurant brands within Golden Nugget, including like Claim Jumper. So it makes sense that they would go with one of their own things that exists elsewhere. They have a location in New York in the Meatpacking District. So it's kind of a hipster thing, I guess. But I don't know. It looks to me, based on the description and the photos and stuff, that they're giving it a facelift. It's going to look a little bit different, but it's the same general concept. They'll still have dancing and a DJ. And I think they're probably going maybe a little bit more upscale than what they have now, but not strip nightclubby. I think it'll be pretty easy to get in there and take a look. You know, they got that nice balcony, so you can look out over Fremont Street. They're still promoting it as downtown's only nightclub, although there's plans for that notoriety place at Deanopolis, which will be open for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So they might have to take that off the website for a brief time. So that is coming soon. I believe it's supposed to open by the end of the month.
Do you have any interest in going there?
Sure. I'll go. We went up to Gold Diggers once.
Yeah. I would had go a to... drink, looked over Fremont Street.
Yeah, I would check it out. As long as there's not a dress code, and we'll get to that shortly.
Yeah, we
In
will.
In fact, let's get to that. So we're going to talk a little bit more. This is, I think, the last batch of things from our October trip that we want to discuss. And this is from our, the first couple items are from our visit to Mandalay Bay, which we decided to do, obviously, following the shootings there. We wanted to throw them some business and visit that place. Show our support to the employees, and we decided to visit after we took in the hockey game at T-Mobile Arena. We were with our friend Misnomer and decided to get some food. We wandered down to Mandalay Bay, and we found ourselves at Libertine Social.
Which is a place we've wanted to try for a long time.
It is, so that worked out quite well. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty large restaurant. When you first walk in, there's a lounge and bar area, and we were able to get into the restaurant part right away, so we didn't have to wait, which was nice. So we didn't really spend any time in the lounge area, but we have absolutely no notes on this. So
I do.
This
is all.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. So this is going to be more for me, at least from memory. And we were also joined by our friend John. So we had a party of four, and
Hunter and Megan were also there, so we could look over at their table.
We
occasionally
spent most of the time watching them to make them uncomfortable, which was really fun to interrupt somebody's romantic dinner. Give me your thoughts on the Libertine Social experience at Mandalay Bay.
It was good. I liked the food. I liked the drinks. We both had flatbreads.
We did, and they were delicious.
I don't remember what you had. You had something with sausage, didn't you?
Sure. Okay. The big sausage.
Mm-hmm. And I had a fig and ham pizza. What? Little precious?
A little precious. Yeah. The food at this place would all be classified as a little precious, but it was all delicious.
But it was very good. And you were hangry.
I was ready to eat. So I'm like, just give me some fucking food.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff on the menu is small plates.
Yeah.
Shareables, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which I have mixed. I like that when we do stuff. I don't like that for group things.
Yeah.
Like
it depends on who I'm with. Yeah.
No, it doesn't for me. No matter who I'm with, I just I want my food.
Except for when you're with me.
Right. But if it's a group, then I'm...
Yeah. Yeah. Although Aaron was very kind and shared his crab dip with us.
He did, and it was lovely.
It was delicious.
And he had a lot of other... He ordered everything off the menu.
Yeah, he did it. He did a personal buffet.
Pretty much. He ordered a lot.
It was all really good.
Everything looked really good, and he was enjoying... He enjoyed everything he had, I believe. So...
And I had a margarita, and they had... Let's see, John and Aaron had a couple like bottled cocktails, were they?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I had I was taking a break from booze, and I had like a Diet Coke or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those deals, they do this at steakhouses a lot, where they bring you the Diet Coke in the tiny glass bottle.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, it was probably like $7 for the little like 10-ounce thing, which...
Mm-hmm.
Which then means no free refills. That's the only reason they do it.
Oh, right.
Oh, fuck you guys.
I remember.
But it was fine.
You had some commentary on the ice. Because apparently they were known for their ice.
Someone else mentioned that.
Ah.
That was a thing. But it was just crushed ice.
Yeah, it was like, you described it as Sonic ice.
I don't know that I did. I think.
Or maybe John or Aaron did.
Yeah, one of those guys.
I was just assuming it was you because you have a tendency to.
overanalyze and bitch about everything when I'm at a restaurant.
Yes, that.
Yeah. It was nothing special as far as ice goes. Yeah. I think maybe the cocktails, when they got that, I feel like there might have been something different with the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it was fine. I liked it. It was one of those restaurants where they have like too many tables for the space, so the servers are constantly like bumping into your elbow if you're sitting on the outside.
Oh, I was sitting on the inside, so I did not get to.
Yeah, things are a little too tight in there. I liked it. I'd go back. The food was good.
The food was good. Service was good.
Yeah, it was pretty decent. So yeah.
Friendly, quick. And you were going to cut somebody if they ordered dessert because once you got your food, you were just ready to get out of there.
Well, that's another thing about, I don't like long drawn out group dinners. Mm-hmm. Anything over an hour is too much for me.
Yeah.
And anytime there's a group dinner, I'm like, who's the motherfucker who's going to order dessert? And luckily, nobody did. I didn't have to throw down.
Mm-hmm.
I would have probably just been like, yeah, I'm just going to go, threw down. See, now the benefit there is when I do have one of those little meltdowns and decide to leave before the end of the meal,
yeah,
I always throw down more money than I need. So mm-hmm. the people who are left there benefit from that.
Yeah.
So, but this was not the case.
And everyone we were with was used to your...
they're used to my shit.
Yeah.
They know I'm just a fucking asshole and they're used to it. So mm-hmm. it worked out fine. They've seen meltdowns from me before. It happens every October when we have one of these trips. But it wasn't a complete, this one was not, I was not like in complete meltdown mode.
Oh yeah.
I would have been later. I was close, but then I rebounded.
Mm-hmm. You did.
So after, do you have anything else about Libertine or are we good with that?
Nope.
Okay. So after Libertine.
Recommended. Tasty food. Good service.
Yeah. We convened with a little group of four, convened with Hunter and Megan. Mm-hmm. And we decided to continue our evening and to have a couple drinks. And someone suggested, oh, maybe we should go to the Foundation Room. None of us have been up there in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of fun to go up there. And I think, I don't know if it was you who questioned or one of us questioned whether or not we'd be able to get up there because I, of course, was wearing shorts and tennis shoes.
And so was I.
Were you wearing?
Well, I was wearing like a skirt with tennis shoes.
You wearing a skirt, though. That would be okay. But Hunter was also wearing shorts. And so... And John assured us, no, we'll get up there, which never trust that guy. Taking on the role of Mikey, because he did that to me that one time at the bank at Bellagio.
And you've never forgotten
it. Never forgotten nor forgiven. But now I can turn my scorn, my lifetime scorn to John for insisting, no, it'll be fine. We'll go over there. So, of course, we go to the elevator at Foundation Room. And
we were very polite.
And the guys at the elevator... We said, oh,
I think we even asked if there was a dress code.
No, I think at first I think it was just, I think it might have been, is there a cover? To which there was, no, come on up. And then he looked beyond the people in the front to me and to Hunter. Well, nope, not you guys. So we got the shame, the no, you're not good enough because you're showing off your sexy legs.
The best part is that if you had been wearing pants, you could have gone up.
I know, but then I would have been wearing pants and I would have been. Not as happy as not wearing pants.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we didn't go to Foundation Room. I get to feel shame for not fitting in, which is always a delight.
And then John suggested going over to Skyfall, and you cut that.
Went, no, that's not going to be any better.
We're going to have the same experience.
So we ended up at Eye Candy, which is kind of right in the middle of the Mandalay Bay Casino floor. And we got a table there, and it was kind of a cool table because it's one of those touch-top video tables that has all kinds of different... kind of apps and programs and stuff. So half of the evening was spent dicking around with this table and seeing if we could break it. We didn't quite break it. I thought we came close once, but service was a little...
Not physically break it. Mess up the program.
Yeah, to see if we could make it not work anymore. So the service was a little iffy at Eye Candy. When we got there, it wasn't very busy. By the time we left, it was, which was good. There were a lot of people around, so they're getting some business. But, not super prompt with the service. I don't know. We all had whatever drinks we had. Who cares? But they were fine.
Yeah.
And the company was good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. It was enjoyable. Decent time. They were playing some decent music. They had like 80s videos on the wall and stuff. So it was good. Is there something specific? You're looking at me like there's something that did I do something?
No.
Okay. Like, what did I do? Okay.
What? I love that you immediately think, what did I do?
I thought you were going to bring something up that I did to screw up the whole evening for everybody that
you
I wasn't
didn't.
Aware of.
No, okay, no, good. It was a lovely evening.
Good. All right. So that was fun. Anything else about Mandalay Bay and spending a little time there? No, nothing. Nope. All right.
Would you go back to Eye Candy?
Yeah, sure. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though the service is a little slow, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been there before.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. We've had a couple drinks there.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we sat at the bar, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go back.
But yeah, definitely want to, if people are comfortable visiting Mandalay Bay, please do.
Yep. So do we want to talk about slot machines? Do you have anything to say about these slot machines?
Not really.
Okay, we're going to skip that. We played some new slots, but we didn't record it, and I don't really remember that much about them. Other than, I know The Simpsons.
I'd play them again.
The Simpsons one was super fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Well, I do have a little bit to say about that one. There was a bonus where it made it look like sprinkles from a donut were dropping, and you were supposed to move your hand to catch the sprinkles.
Oh, there's like a motion detector thing on there. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of amusing. There's a few machines I've seen with that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And yeah. Anchorman had good butt rumbles.
Okay. Good butt rumbles for Anchorman. Simpsons, I thought that the like video and audio and all that was really fun.
Yeah.
There's like, in addition to just the reels going, like Homer is sitting there on a window off to the side making comments mm-hmm. and stuff. So I enjoyed that. I'll play both of those again.
I wish I had played more slots this trip because not only because video poker was just mean to me, but
you were entertained by it?
Yeah. I had a good time playing
slots. I've heard good things about the Elvira machines.
Ooh.
Yes. That
I'd
they're
play those.
Really. They're like sarcastic and funny.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play those next time.
Okay.
So, okay. We'll remember that. We'll next time we're in Vegas, we'll try to do some gambling with Tim and Michelle with some different slot machines.
All right.
Since we didn't do any this time. All right. With that, we're going to take just a few phone calls this week, and let's start out with this gentleman.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Mark from North Carolina, and I have just finished a little gambling session at El Cortez playing Bubble Craps. I bought in for $60 and cashed out just over $600. Which, it's 9:00 Pacific time right now, and that makes me up 500 by midnight for the first time ever in Las Vegas.
Congratulations.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Appreciate the call. That's nice. That's nice when
I like winning.
Can win quickly on we didn't play that this time either. The,
no,
pop,
push the button.
The whatever that craps machine is. Craps machine.
Bubble craps.
I will have to play some of that next time around too, because it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've done well on it. Alrighty, would you like a review of a magic show?
Sure.
Well, you're gonna get one.
After 6 minutes of rambling the other night, I realized that I never got around to reviewing the one show I went to during my Halloween week trip. So here's a show review. On Thursday, November 2nd, I went to Xavier Mortimer's Magical Dream, or whatever it's called. It's in a small showroom at Planet Hollywood. It's one show a night, 7 p.m. There's two levels of seating, VIP up close, regular seating and lame chairs in the back half. Not a huge room. You'll get by just fine with the regular seats. I did have VIP seats up close to the stage. A little bit nicer, if that means anything to you. You might have a small involvement in the show, as is the case with many magic shows. He does stuff on stage. He makes multiple items produced out of thin air, seemingly like cell phones. He relies too much upon a shadow screen where there are shadows projected, either in suggesting there's somebody behind or generally that's what it is. He uses that too much. He uses a video screen, well choreographed, where an image of him, it's supposed to be a mirror, where he's choreographed, moving and working with his image in the video's monitor screen, doubling as a, or serving as a mirror. It's well done in that regard. The magic is fine. I didn't see anything, but I read reviews after the show, and my girlfriend said, yes, you can kind of tell sometimes where he's producing something. He does it very quick, pretty fluid. I know he doesn't actually make things appear out of thin air, so even if I can see the sleight of hand, doesn't ruin it for me. It just means I'm paying closer attention than I normally do. And I missed all of it. He does a couple of neat tricks that some are pretty standard with an interesting twist. One is he does a couple of things where he seems to float or makes an object float and does a pretty good job of selling it. I don't know what wires or how it's being moved about or how the whole thing works. I can't tell, but it does an excellent job. The one thing it really kind of misses is it doesn't have like a big finale. It doesn't have a really spectacular ending. So just about an hour and 5 to 10 minute show. I'd say don't make it your priority for magic shows. I'm not a perennial fan or not a regular at the magic shows. I've never seen Penn and Teller or David Copperfield or Chris Angel or anything that qualifies as magic. Matt King and Nathan Burton are pretty much the extent of my magic, but I enjoy a well-done show. I'd go to Matt King before I'd go to Xavier Mortimer again, especially if you're paying it all for tickets or drinks associated with it. Matt King is definitely a better value.
All right. Thank you for that report. We appreciate it. That was Mike from Richfield, by the way. So there you go. Magic show, Planet Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So-so review.
Even if it were a glowing review, would you be...
No, I don't like magic shows that much. I don't know. I'm not opposed to completely opposed to going to a magic show, but it's not high on my list. I always think of the clip of Michael Jackson saying, "David Blaine, your magic is real." Why I think of that. All right, next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Jeremy from Portland. Hello. Love the podcast and wanted to report back on a trip we just took to Vegas. Just got back from a trip with my adult kids. We had 7 people there all together, stayed at the D, had a premium King Corner room that was fantastic. I posted a morning picture up on the Facebook page and had some great feedback on that. Spent Saturday night at Container Park and around Fremont. A little slow at the park, but I think some good drink specials would bring more people down there. Introduced the kids to Sigma Derby, and they all loved it. Saw them all playing it over the entire weekend, and most of them won some money at that, surprisingly enough. Sunday morning, got up a little early, went to the donut bar. It was a donut appreciation day, so they threw in a couple for free. They did serve Portland Roasters coffee, which was a little odd considering I'm from Portland, and used to drinking that kind of coffee. We went for brunch at the Silverton, and the Bellini brunch was very good, reasonably priced. Definitely better buffets in town, but for the price, a good value all around. Went to Lappert's later on that afternoon at the ice cream place at the Cow. Love that ice cream, but the Cow on their craps game now only has double odds, and wasn't going to play there. Sorry about that. They need to change that. Boys, if you're listening, change your odds. Spent Sunday night at the Gold Spike. What a fun place, I tell you. For the place that you can't gamble anymore, they are doing everything right. I highly recommend Gold Spike. Super fun place to go. Monday, we spent a little time down at the South Strip. We took in the Ultimate 4D experience at the Excalibur. And super fun. It was slow, so they played the 2 movies that we wanted to see. We didn't want to see the Lego movie since we were all adults. And rumble seats with some air blasts and some water chutes and some cool effects. Reasonably priced, fun, definitely capable of taking on more customers than we had. But cool private screening kind of situation for us. So we walked in, they played the 2 movies we wanted to see, and we walked out. Nothing scheduled, nothing to report other than reasonably priced and fun for some adventurous but not wanting to zip line kind of people. Had dinner that night at the Broiler Room at the Boulder Station. Really good steakhouse. If you have a chance to get off the strip, it's really great. Took in the Jokester's Comedy Show at the D. Very reasonably priced again, about $20 per person to get into that. And it's really funny. Great value food.
And then he got cut off. Hit the 3-minute limit. But thanks for the call. We do appreciate the reviews. I've been hoping someone would call with a review of the 4D Experience Theater at Excalibur.
In the Fun Dungeon.
In the Fun Dungeon. It sounds like fun was had in the Fun Dungeon.
I have some concerns about liquids being sprayed in the Fun Dungeon.
We all do, but you have to get over those things when you're in the Fun Dungeon and trust it's all going to work out fine and it'll remain your little secret. So probably bad timing for a joke like that. I shouldn't have made it. Oh, there's always regret when I record a podcast. All right, moving along. let's take our last call of the week.
Tim, Michelle, how the hell are you?
Great.
It's Mark from Atlanta. I don't know if you do pre-trip reports, and if you don't, feel free to delete this. No worries. But if you do, thank you, because I just had to share my excitement with somebody because you get it. It is officially booked. Me and my buddy Drew, We've been boys since we were 7 years old. Now we're old, married men with kids. And he's turning 40. And I said, come on, man, let's go play out in Vegas for your 40th birthday. It took a little bit of finagling from the wives, but they said, fine, y'all go. Go have fun. Go be boys. But by God, it is on. Booked a couple of nights for the second weekend in December. I'm going back to downtown Grand. He'll be staying at the Golden Gate. And we're just going to go play. And we're going to party hard until probably the crack of 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock, because we're old. But that's all right. I cannot friggin' wait. And he's not much of a gambler, a lot of video poker, so I think we're going to spend a lot of time at the bars just catching up and laughing and having a good time. The trip's going to be highlighted because a couple of old Georgia boys are going to go see Brooks and Dunn on Saturday night. It's kind of the highlight of the trip. I saw him over the summer, and it was such a fantastic show. I was like, I know you're going to love this show. So let me take you back. And selfishly, I'm excited. That means I get to see him again. So anyway, I can't wait. And another selfishly, I'm really excited about staying at Downtown Grand again. I love that place. And he'll be at Golden Gate. And I told him, I said, to prepare for it, if you want to spend a couple of nights in your walk-in closet, that gets you right in the right place for Golden Gate. But anyway, guys, I'll call you back after the trip with the trip report. But I can't freaking wait. And Vegas, I've never been to Vegas in December, too. So that's going to be awesome. So looking forward to it, guys. One of these days I'll get out there for y'all to get together. Eventually, maybe, hopefully. Hey, hope you have a great week. Thanks for everything you do. See you.
That is a call that, like, I'm excited about his excitement.
Yes.
It made me just, I feel his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome. So I hope you have a wonderful time. And
yeah.
You guys are going to have a blast. I can already feel it. Oh.
The anticipation, the joy of having something booked.
I know, it is. And that he's going to be hanging out with a friend that he's not seeing all the time. And they're going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You can just tell. So that's awesome. And we hope it's wonderful and look forward to your post-trip report. All right. So before we wrap things up, a few people to thank for PayPal donations this week, including Josh from Winnipeg. Karma donation for an upcoming trip with the boys to see the Winnipeg Jets play the Golden Knights.
Fun.
That was a couple nights ago.
Ooh.
I don't know. Did they win? I don't know who won that one.
I do not know.
I've been following the Golden Knights a lot, and I can't remember.
I think the Golden Knights won.
I think they did, too. They've been doing pretty well. He said he just started listening, but he's listened to 90 episodes in 1 month.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry for that.
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of us. But thank you for your support. Glad you're digging the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you had a good time. David said heading out for... So was this weekend the Rock and Roll Marathon? I believe it was.
I believe it's today.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so doing the half marathon. Said he's been slacking on listening to episodes, so he doesn't even know if I've said his name right on the Patreon subscriber list. I'm sure I have not. Let's just assume I've said it wrong, possibly multiple times. So he wanted Eye of the Tiger while on the course. See, sometimes it's probably too late anyway because we're recording in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when the marathon... If we record before the marathon, I'll do the words of encouragement for the people who are running. We didn't even do that.
If you're running and listening, go. Yeah,
if you're really doing badly and you're way behind by the time this comes out, then keep trying.
You can do it.
You can do it. You are the best you. What is that lyric I was...
What lyric?
Yesterday I was quoting some Alicia Cara lyric or something.
No better you than the you that you are.
That's what it was. It's horrible. Okay, anyway, thank you very much, David. Mike and Becca from Boston. They're in Vegas right now. Becca is also running her first half marathon today. Good luck. Hope you have a great time. Plans include Cromwell, Carmine's, High Tea at Mandarin, and Absinthe. Love the show. Thanks for all you do. Well, I hope you have a great time.
Yes.
And sounds like wonderful plans, and knock 'em dead. All right, Patrick. Hoping for some good karma again. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Patrick.
Good luck.
Good luck to you. And finally, Dan from Minneapolis said, putting in a karma donation for my trip next weekend, coming up in a few days, heading to the GNR concert, and need Zen for my liver before the holidays. That's what you do. Well, good luck with that.
Yes.
Guns N' Roses puts on an awesome show, at least what I saw of it. Long story. And I'm sure you'll have a good time.
Yep.
All right. Thank you all very much for your support. We do appreciate all of our karma donators and... Patreon patrons and everybody who helps spread the word on the podcast and all that kind of stuff. So thank you so much. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. We will probably be back with another show next week.
I think so.
Is next weekend a holiday weekend?
No, the weekend after.
Okay. I can't keep track of shit anymore. All right. Well, you can find the website at 500bymidnight.com. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions at 500@gmail.com. We're both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night. Please call it early, often. Share your thoughts, your dreams, your Vegas reviews, whatnot. 702-866-9494. And of course, as always, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We'll be back soon with another show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.